We truly want those words today. I want to be your servant, Lord, to be not just a thought today, but also on our hearts. And that fits throughout the service. Servanthood is a theme in our worship here today. We want to be a servant of the Lord. If I can go ahead and get the PowerPoint to come up here. This is the fourth Sunday in our series on the five C's of what it means to be a Christian in a Christian church, a Peace Lutheran Church. We're going to talk about calling today. Not just is the pastor called, everyone in the church is called by Jesus to serve. Let's talk about that a little bit this morning. You know, it's really important to understand when we're called and how that works. A story illustrates this. There was a young farmer who was standing out in his field, and he looked up in the clouds and saw a very interesting collection of clouds. And he thought that it must be a sign. It's communicating something. He pondered it and thought for quite a while. And as he let his imagination flow and looked up at the clouds, he said to himself, "It looks like GPC. He thought about it longer, and then he came up with a conclusion. He was sure, 100%, what the clouds were telling him. Go preach Christ. Very clear. The next day, he went to the elders of the local church to share with them that he needed to share the sermon next Sunday and get the pulpit to share the special message. And the elders didn't want to get in the way. They wanted to free things up so that he could share his sermon. The Sunday came, and the sermon was one of the worst anyone had ever heard. And it was incoherent. It was difficult. And the elders who made the decision to let him preach sat there stunned at the end of the worship service. And as everyone filed out, the head elder walked up to the young farmer and said, "I think you misinterpreted the clouds, or at least what they mean. GPC probably meant go plant corn." It's important to recognize when you're called and what it means and what you're supposed to do for the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, each one of us is called here at Peace Lutheran. And that calling is a little, I'm going to say this morning, it's a little nudge. Have you ever felt a little nudge? It happens at Peace when we have announcements. Boy, we had a lot of announcements this morning. But maybe as you were listening, you had a little nudge of interest in what someone presented to you to get involved. Calling. It happens when you look at the volunteer calendar out in the hallway into the fellowship hall. There are lists of things to do, fellowship hosts, to read, to acolyte, to set up communion. Maybe you've thought to yourself, maybe I could do that. I'd like to encourage you this morning to recognize that that's not just a little thought. That's a calling inside. That little nudge is the Lord telling you, maybe you should think about getting involved and saying yes. Calling. Go ahead and flip to the next slide here, Jim. What I have up here this morning is a little diagram here. I use this I've used it before, and I don't think I've shared it here at Peace before, but I think it's helpful. It's how calling works in the Christian church. A good illustration of how this works. There are four quadrants here. The pastor is the x-axis, so he's kind of, for our math majors here this morning, this is how this works. He's the x-axis, and the members of the church, they're the y-axis here. And this illustration shows that everyone here has callings. The way this works is, in quadrant one, that happens when the pastor enthusiastically says, "Yes, I'll serve," and does things to the best of his ability and stretches himself. But the members say, "Maybe," or, "Yeah, I really don't know if I want to get involved." Now, when quadrant one happens, what typically happens is a congregation is spectating and watching the pastor do everything. It's like going to a Beaver football game. What an awesome game it is. That can happen in quadrant one, and it happens in churches. That is a danger. Quadrant two is even worse. That's when the pastor says, yeah, maybe, nah, I'll serve there, but yeah, I don't know. And when the congregation also says maybe or no. Typically that happens when people show up and do things, but there isn't an enthusiastic yes to the calling to serve and do things in the church. And when that quadrant happens, it's like the air getting sucked out of the room. There's very little life and vibrancy in the congregation, and things go south. Quadrant three oftentimes happens. That's when the pastor says no or maybe, and the congregation says enthusiastically yes. The members say, I want to get involved, I want to serve. And that happens all too often in today's society. When pastors say, I only work from 9 a.m. to noon, don't call me after noon. Or when a pastor, this happens, friends, I hear it all the time. Or when a pastor says, weeding and cleaning, that's not in my call documents. My job is to preach. Wow, amazing. That's a problem spot as well. And it happens all the time. Dear friends, quadrant four is a sweet spot. Amazing things happen. When the pastor says, yes, I want to serve. And when the members say, yes, I want to get involved. Sweet things happen. In fact, you can't even keep track of who did what. And amazing things happen. You look at sheets of paper and wants and needs list all of a sudden disappear and are taken care of. And things that you didn't even plan for in the year, all of a sudden they appear and you did them. And you wonder, how in the world did all that happen? Now, friends, I think Peace Lutheran Church is in quadrant four. I hope you agree with me. But the most important thing is that we maintain quadrant four, that we live in that box, because great things can happen when we say yes, pastor and people together. That's an awesome design that Jesus has given the church. The church can do great things. Why is it that pastors, and why is it that members oftentimes say no? Oftentimes it's because of hesitancy. Because a person or even a pastor may think that they're not qualified to do the job. There were times when I was just becoming a pastor, I thought, my goodness, preach a sermon? I don't know if I can do that. I'm pretty scared. I'm not qualified. If someone saw what I was doing in college, they might not want me to be a pastor. Members of the church sometimes will say, I'm not qualified. Fellowship host, I don't do it as well as Gertrude. Oh man, she's awesome. Others will say, join the choir? Are you kidding me? I can't sing at all. This is tough. Go to an event like Feed My Starving Children, I'm too shy, I'm hesitant. Friends, listen this morning to my word. There's only one thing you need to do to say yes this morning. Can you follow Jesus? If you can say yes to that, you can do anything. Because the church is not about perfection, and it's not about performance. It's about following Jesus. Following Jesus. Following can be a helpful thing. I remember about 12 years ago, I had an experience that was very unusual. It was going to IKEA. How many of you have gone to IKEA before? All right. Well, for those of you, not everyone's been to IKEA. So I want to explain why it's a very strange experience. It's an out-of-body experience, really. When you go to IKEA, you hear about how awesome the Swedish meatballs are going to be. They're awesome, by the way. And you think about how you're going to check out and go through the register and pay and find some good things. But the first time that I went to IKEA was a baffling experience because when I walked through the front door, there were no Swedish meatballs right in front of me. And not just that, there wasn't even a cash register. It was confusing, and I hesitated because there was no store like it. You see, in IKEA, you got to follow a path and see every single item that they sell. I like to wander around, and I only like to go to certain sections of IKEA. I don't want to see everything that they had to sell. Someone came up to me, to Alicia and I, this was in Orlando, and said, you look confused. follow me. And we did. What a great experience IKEA was. We saw a whole bunch of things that we wouldn't have selected as we followed behind the crowd through the building. And at the very end of the walk, there was a pot of gold full of Swedish meatballs. And there was the cash register where you could check out and go your way. What an amazing experience IKEA is. But it was only amazing because one person came up and said, "Follow me." When you feel the nudge in the Christian church or here at Peace to get involved and say yes to the calling to serve at Peace, remember my IKEA example. When we do something new or that is out of our comfort zones, we often hesitate and we're unsure. But Jesus comes by your side and says, "Follow me." There's nothing that Jesus does or asks us to do that he himself didn't do. Give mercy? Jesus did it for you. Show love and care? Jesus did it for you. Give grace or help to someone? Jesus did that for you as well. In every activity that we have here at Peace, there is someone who has paved the way. Or there is someone, fellowship host, singing in the choir, going to a seminar, whatever it may be. There is already someone there that God has set up who can show you the way that you should go. God is at work in his church, nudging people. That's a God moment, nudging his people to say yes. It happened with Moses at the burning bush. Moses, say yes. It happened with Deborah the prophetess when no one would step up at a time in Israel in Judges chapter 7. Deborah stepped up. It happened with people named James and John and Mary and Martin Luther in the 16th century, and it happens to people like Barry Hagen and Oscar Gubrod. God nudges and says yes, and we say yes. So let's do three things here today. Let's recognize the nudge that comes. That's the call of God. It's not just an emotion. Let's recognize where that nudge comes from. It comes from God. And let's be open more times than not to saying, "Yes, here I am. Send me." Amen.